Acts chapter number 2, verse number 36. Just going to read four verses this morning, down to verse 39. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. I pray that you would work in our hearts this day. God, I pray, Spirit of God, illuminate your word. Go deep within our soul. Oh God, today, I pray that you would speak to us and show us your truth, that we might be reveling in the wondrous truth of God. May you be glorified by that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, please, and be seated. There are two great truths concerning the Holy Spirit, and I believe are of utmost importance. Within these two truths lie many other truths, but I believe within these, you and I need to have a tremendous understanding. First of all, I believe we need to understand His incoming. When you and I get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives within us. We will deal with that extensively this morning. I believe also we need to understand the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God, or perhaps what we might also call the fullness of the Spirit of God. We will find from Scripture that there are two things that are necessary for both. When it comes to the incoming of the Spirit of God, there needs to be two things. We'll see it, or we have already read it actually, and that is repentance and faith. Repentance and faith, and the Spirit of God dwells within. I believe the fullness of God comes as a result of two other things. One which is the same, I should say, and that is through the yieldedness of ourselves to Him and belief. Through our faith and through our yieldedness to Him. One, we are in sense waiting on Him. The other, He is waiting on us. And very important that we understand these two things. Because of a misunderstanding of these two basic areas, most Christians are left with the feeling, at least, of powerlessness, barren of the fruit of the Spirit of God in their lives, not walking in the abundant life that God has promised to you and to me. Every child of God needs to know that they have received the Holy Spirit of God, that He has indeed come into their life when they were saved. Now, I believe this morning that a lot of God's people believe that with their mind, but do not believe that with their heart and in practice. You know, there's things that we will assent to, that we will say yes to, and we will give our agreement with, but in practicality, we don't observe it. We don't see it taking place in our life. And we need to know in the practical sense that we have indeed at salvation received the gift of the Holy Spirit. But because of the absence of the abundant life, we believe often that we must wait upon God to give us what He's already given us. We somehow then want to place upon Him the responsibility that He's already taken care of. And He wants us to understand today that every child of God has within them the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about a force. I'm not talking about an object. I'm not talking about a thing. I'm talking about the very person of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. He comes and dwells within you and me. Now, our problem is, by all means, we do have a problem with Him. That is, we have not yielded ourselves to allow Him to work in His fullness. We have not given ourselves over to Him. The endeavor of this message is to clarify, first of all, to every child of God that the Spirit of God has come to dwell within them. Then if you know that, and you do not experience the power and the fruitfulness of God, the problem is not God, it is our yieldedness. And we must yield ourselves to Him. If you were to go down the street here, turn left onto 25th Street, go under the freeway, and head up the entrance ramp onto Interstate 29 going south, you would come up and you would find that there is a sign there that says, "Yield." And in that sign, we understand that the cars that are coming, we must allow them to go before us. We must yield the right of way to them. And you and I, if we're going to be successful as a Christian, we must yield the right of way to our Savior. And we must follow after Him. Our problem is we get ahead of Him. But this morning I want us to understand, first of all, because so many of God's people, I fear, do not understand, do not realize, do not have that practical sense. He dwells within your very being. He dwells there. By the way, if you discover throughout the course of this message that there is not the indwelling of the Spirit of God in your soul, then you need to get very concerned, because without Him, without His indwelling, you need to understand you're lost and on your way to hell. And you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want us to note this morning, from the text especially, that there are two conditions for the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice verse number 38, a controversial verse, but I don't believe it's that controversial. It says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall what?" And ye shall what? Receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. To find the conditions for the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of God, all too often we have confined ourselves to the experiences of the apostles rather than their teachings. Brethren, if you and I today seek to lead somebody to Christ based upon our experiences, we may lead them in the wrong direction. For if you experience the Lord Jesus Christ coming into your life, you were sitting on the fifth row, you went forward on the third stanza of the song, "Just As I Am," and you tell somebody you got to sit on the fifth row in the second seat, go forward on the third stanza of the song, "Just As I Am," what if we don't sing that today? What if somebody's already sitting in that seat? That is not the necessity. That may have been the experience of a person, but the truth that will set us free is the truth that Jesus Christ is the sin bearer and that we must accept what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. And so we must remember that the apostles had experienced the Holy Spirit as Old Testament believers. And yet we find there came a time after the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave, the Bible says He breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Thus, we need to look very carefully at what they taught. From our text, we find that there are two conditions that must be met: repent and be baptized. Now, let's stop and think about that term there, baptized, for just a moment. Simply stated, we understand from other passages that baptism was administered when a person had faith in the sin bearer. Let's stay in the context. Go down to verse number 41 of our text here today. And notice what it says. "Then they that" what? "Gladly received His word" were what? "Baptized." So simply stated, when He tells us here, repent and be baptized, it must be somebody who receives the Word of God, believes what God says about Jesus Christ. It is a matter of faith. It is a matter of believing God. So we find two things here, repent and believe. Repent and believe. There are two questions we ought to always ask ourselves. Have I turned away from my sins with an honest heart? And have I received or have I trusted not in my works, but in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ as my sin bearer upon the cross of Calvary? Herein lies one of the problems. We will probably touch on it towards the end of the message today, but there are those today who are very sorry for their sin but never have trusted in Jesus Christ. Just this week, I was watching the television, the newscast, and there was a man who had been convicted of having part in the murder of a young girl. And while they were telling about the story, he was the first one to have conviction brought upon him. I believe he received, I forget how many years, he'd be in his 60s before he's released. And he said to the family, "I am very sorry." Now, some people might look at that and they say, well, he just said that. And maybe he did, but I believe he was very sincere. And he was very sorry. And because he has repented of that, does not mean that he's going to heaven. There must be, not only with repentance, there must be belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many folks are sorry for things they have done. Repentance, being sorry for it, turning away from it, never doing it again, is not what's going to get us to heaven, though it is necessary. On the other hand, there are folks who say, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ," but they are not about to turn away from their sin. They say, "I want to accept Christ as my Savior and keep my sin. I'm going to keep living the way I do." And the popular message today in many of our churches, sad to say, is you can believe in Jesus Christ and keep on living the way you're living. That is not salvation either. God saves us from sin. God saves us from sin, not to more sin. And so we find that there must be both repentance and that belief. And God tells us here, He promises, He gives it to us very clearly to this first group of people being preached to, repent and be baptized, and ye shall what? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Every child of God needs to know that he is a gift from God. He has baptized you, if you please, in the Spirit of God. He has come into your life. He is there. Now, you may be squelching Him. You may be grieving Him. But He is there. Secondly, I'd like for us to also consider that the Spirit that lives within you is a witness to you. Let me take you to the book of Romans. You don't have to turn there. Chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How many remember, after you got saved, the tremendous peace that came over your soul? There was a peace that replaced all the stresses that had dwelt there for years because of your sin. You had made peace with God. The Spirit of God is He who gives us that peace. He bore witness with our spirit. The Spirit of God bore witness with our spirit. There is no power in existence that can bring peace to our soul concerning our past sins. There is nothing that can do that outside of the Spirit of God. How do I know that the person of Jesus Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Christ, how can I know that He lives within me? Because the Bible teaches me there are two conditions. Have I repented of my sin and have I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I had tremendous witness of the Spirit of God as He gave me the peace of God. I remember particularly and personally, this is what took place in my life. I got up out of the classroom. I had gotten saved previous to my class. I had read Martin Luther's words about the law and the grace of God. And I understood for the very first time, hey, the law of God condemns me and sends me to a hell. And I'm a sinner. And I cried out to my Savior and asked Him to forgive me of my sins. And I put my faith and my trust in Him. I went through the class. And I thought to myself, this is great. Why don't these people get this? They read the same thing I did. It was the same old dull classroom, but something had changed inside of me. I remember the bell rang and I got up and I walked down the hall and I saw people and I heard voices, but it was almost like I was walking in an ecstasy all by myself because the peace of God had flooded my soul. Never in my life had I experienced that. Only the Spirit of God can bring that to our soul. And He is the author of that. How can I know? Because there's no other power available that can give me peace concerning my past sins than the Spirit of Almighty God. And there's a last thing that I think of, and that is the assertion of the Word of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, listen to these words as we think about it. Know ye not. Why does Paul say it like that? Don't you know? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? A little later in the same book he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? In the second book of Corinthians in chapter 6 he says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Over and over through Scripture, we find that God lets us understand that the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. We are His temple. We are that in which He resides. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 uses these words, however, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. What's he saying? Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Interesting verse. As he's saying, you need to look. Have you discovered that there was a real repentance in your life, that you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you had that wonderful witness of the Spirit of God in your soul with the peace of God? Examine yourselves. Do you not know from Scripture and what He says that He lives within? Even if you have the Spirit of God and have never experienced one emotional moment, you can know from Scripture that He be there. Because God has so proclaimed it. I want you to listen to these words by the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, verse 4. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more me can ye except ye abide in me. I want you to think about it for a moment. To the sinner, He says, come. To the sinner, to the one who needs Christ, He says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. His invitation at the very end of the book is come. He is inviting you and I to come to His side. But the saying of God, He doesn't say come, He says abide. This is because the believer is already there in Him. Abide in me. You need to live because He is there. Someone will object and they say, well, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 19, it asks the question, allow me to read it, have you received the Holy Ghost since you received, since you believed? Turn to chapter 19 with me. Let's look at this. I believe in actuality, this chapter, these verses we're going to look at here, are some of the strongest proof that the apostles expected men to receive the Holy Ghost at conversion. I do not believe these are verses that are telling us that it is something that comes at a later date. Notice verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And notice their answer. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghosts. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. First of all, let's remember something. There are two conditions that we find for receiving the Holy Spirit of God. One is repentance and the other is believing. They go hand in hand. I find a very difficult time actually separating the two. There is that desire to get away from the sin and desire to have the sin bearer take our sin away from us. When these men answer Paul in the negative, he immediately looks for the conditions laid down by Peter. Notice this. He immediately looks for the conditions laid down by Peter. He tells us here, I lost my spot, let me get back here. We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost, verse 2 or 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And notice their answer, they said unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of what? Repentance. Saying unto the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. But his baptism was one of repentance. It was one of sorrow for their sin. And when they came to John, they were baptized unto repentance. Paul finds the problem here. They had repented, but there had not been the belief. And when he shows them the Lord Jesus Christ, when they heard this in verse number 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find the Holy Ghost comes upon them. They had lacked faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Herein lies the problem with many today who have only fulfilled one condition. And the reason some do not experience the person of Christ, to the person of the Spirit of God within them, is because of one of two reasons. They've either not repented or they've not believed. You say, preacher, but the Bible is very particular. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's a reason we're going to believe, and that is because we recognize that we are a sinful person. We are destined to an eternal hell. And that we need somebody to take care of it for us. It is a turning away from sin. It's not just a simple belief in Christ. Let me tell you about a young man that I know very well. At the age of 11, he was told that he should believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from what I understand from this young man, that is exactly what took place in his life. Matter of fact, since the time he can remember, there was not a time that he doesn't remember that he didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed he was a real person. He believed he died for the sins of the world. But there came a time later in his life when he recognized that it was not just belief, not just what I would describe as a mental assertion of that, but it was something that was needed dramatically in his life. It was a realization that he needed that for himself because he was such a horrible sinner. And recognizing his sin, he turned to Christ and received him as his Savior. And now he's truly born again. And he who speaketh you is the young man that I knew. That was exactly my case. There are many who believe. There's genuine faith. But there never been that time whereby they recognize what he believed was necessary for him. He believed the facts, but never for self. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, there are those who are genuinely sorry for their sin. And they want to change. No doubt, there were some in the last few days who sat down and made a list of things, resolving that I'm going to change this in my life. We laugh at New Year's resolutions because we know that we normally don't keep them. And no matter how hard we resolve, and no matter how much we want to change, until we come to that spot that we recognize we cannot do it ourselves and put our faith in Jesus Christ to do it for us, it does not take place. But when both of those things are in place, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. He resides within you. He wants to work in your life. He wants to do things in your life. But here be the problem. For within our soul, within our very being, is this constant fight. Because when you got saved, there was something that you have left over. It's called your flesh. The desires of the flesh is still with you. Though you're saved and though the Spirit of God dwells within you, that flesh has tremendous control. Until we are willing to yield all of ourselves to Him, He cannot fill us and do what He wishes. And thus we don't experience the fullness of the Spirit of God. We do not experience the wonders of His gifts, of the Spirit of love, joy, and peace, and all of these things. We don't experience them in their fullness. We do not know the abundant life that Jesus said when He says, I've given you life and life more abundantly. And so as Christians, the problem is not the Spirit of God does not dwell within. The problem is we want to control it and not Him. And we must give up and give in. Yield. There be the problem. So there's two problems with the Spirit of God. One, we've either not what? Repented and believed. We may be sorry for sin, or we may have believed that Jesus died for our sins, but we haven't repented. We're very happy about our sins. They don't bother us. And thus the Spirit of God does not dwell there. Or secondly, He does dwell there, and He is being squelched in our life. It's almost like a mansion that has many rooms. The biggest house I've ever been in was a friend of Doc's. He told me he thought they had 53 rooms. If you got that many rooms in your house, you do have to kind of wonder how many are there. So you got this great big mansion called your heart. And the Spirit of God has come to live within. But we keep a lot of the doors shut, not allowing Him to have access. And thus we don't experience the fruitfulness of God. We don't experience His fullness, the power of God working in us and through us. We don't experience what God really wants in our lives. Why? Because we've kept the doors closed. Not willing to yield to Him. Do you know why you have so many problems? God's trying to get you to see that if you just give it to Him, He takes care of it. By the way, it doesn't mean you won't have problems. You may even have more. But He takes care of them. Wonderful realization. How is it in your life? Does He dwell there? Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? And if you have you yielded yourself to Him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You today for Your wonderful Word. Thank You, O God, that at the moment of repentance and belief You came in the person of the Spirit in our soul. You've called yourself the Comforter, and oh, what great comforts you have been. That initial comfort that I remember was the peace of God. Peace concerning all the past sin that had me in duress. Oh God, thank you for that. And Lord, you want to not only be there, but be there in fullness. And Lord, so often in our lives we just won't yield. We try to do it our own way. Our pride gets in the way. Our self, it's constantly in the way. Oh God, I pray that you might break us. As the alabaster box was broken and the sweet perfume was released, may that be a picture in our hearts of the wonderful odor you wish to bring upon us. Oh God, today, work in hearts. Bless, I pray. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning, please.